It's time now to look through the window of baseball with our good friend Bruce Jenkins, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truitt and White, the professional builder's choice with the new showroom down in Monterey. Bruce, of course, of the Chronicle. Bruce, good morning, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you bet. How you doing, Marty?
Well, we're doing fine. The sun is out here. And Cleveland Indians, Giants franchise, Bruce, it hit me yesterday after Willie Mays was on with Al Rosen. These clubs go back a long way, and they've seen a lot of each other. It's kind of interesting to see them play.
Yeah, I mean, they go way back to all the spring training issues in Arizona, you know, in the 50s, and Bill Veeck and Horace Stoneham, and, of course, the 54 World Series. It's one of those interleague matchups that I actually look forward to, you know, with, it seems like, I don't know, the Kansas City Royals or whatever. It just doesn't seem to have much going for it. But if you've been around a little bit, like you had Art Spanner on, that was great. I heard him earlier. You know, who can remember what it means, you know, Giants Cleveland, some of the things that means. It's terrific. And, you know, they've got a good ball club. They got to the playoffs last year, and they got Francona managing, and it should be interesting today against Vogelsong.
Yeah, the top three guys in the order of Bourne and Kipnis and Swisher are hitting. The next three aren't hitting much. You know, it's funny. Sandoval's hitting about 160. They got a guy, Santana, who's a good hitter, hitting about 120. This is not untypical. Early in the season, you'll find just about every roster, somebody's got someone who's not hitting the ball. This happens.
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, you know, Buster Posey going 3-for-40 is probably the best example you could have. I mean, I'm sure they were quite relieved to see him turn on that pitch and hit one out yesterday. But that's almost inconceivable for a guy who, you know, likes to hit the ball up the middle, goes to right field, sort of like Adrian Gonzalez from the left side. He's so good to the opposite field. He has been doing that. And I don't know. I think he'd have to get back to that. As soon as you see him drilling singles and doubles to right center, not every time, but, you know, on the proper pitch and situation, that's when you know he's back.
You know, I'll tell you, you know, I love to read old sport magazines, and I picked one up the other day just randomly, and it was about Stan Musial, a story that Roy Stockton did. Remember the great writer from St. Louis? And he did it in the mid-40s, and Musial had started the 47 season off 5-for-47. And this is, you know, Stan Musial, after 46 in the World Series, he was done. They were writing him off, and, you know, it was really funny. And he worked his way back the whole year, and he ended up hitting like 320.
Yeah, it usually all tends to work out. You know, the spotlight is really important. I mean, Ted Williams finally got into the World Series and didn't do much. And everybody's going, ah, geez, what's wrong with him? And Gil Hodges had a terrible World Series. Then you'll get, you know, people remember, you know, Brian Doyle for his World Series more than they do Ted Williams. You know, so, I mean, it gets pretty crazy. But over 162, things tend to even out.
Yeah, and that is truly the story. Bruce, Vogelsong today, and he goes against Danny Salazar. It's one of those interesting matchups. Salazar, the hard-throwing 24-year-old from the Dominican Republic. One start, 3 2/3, and they struck out 10. The other one was a caught stealing. And then you get Vogelsong. Lefty's hitting 389 against him. I think Vogelsong's got a couple more starts to show that he belongs in the rotation. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'd say more than a couple. I'd say maybe four or five. I mean, they invested in him financially and emotionally, you know, based on his past and his character. And I don't think they give up on him real soon. But at the same time, there's a lot of evidence that this may not work out. I think today is big because, I mean, I could easily envision Swisher and Kipnis, you know, lighting him up, you know, maybe, and other guys in that lineup. So we'll see. But, I mean, if they had a real solid alternative, I think maybe a couple starts, but that'd be the end of his rope. But, you know, with the uncertainty about Petit and Escobar and really anybody else, who do you turn to? So unless he just gets completely lit up, I think he's got a little more rope.
Yeah, I think so. And that's the issue in baseball. Who's going to replace you? You know, I wouldn't object if he does have trouble in the next couple of starts. He pitches here today, then he'll get a start against Atlanta and probably get a start against the Dodgers after that. But if he, you know, really struggles, what's the big deal putting him in the bullpen and giving Petit a shot? It's not, like they have somebody built in on the roster. It's not the end of the world.
No, that's going to be the first alternative. I don't think it happens right away, but yeah, I mean, Petit's a guy who obviously pitched some great games. Sometimes he's he's all over the map. I don't think he's somebody they feel they can really rely on to be in their rotation for, you know, the better part of a season. But if it gets to be a disaster with Vogelsong, that's what they'll do. And we'll see what happens from there.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. It makes a story that, you know, you love these stories. The heart-throwing right-hander strikes everybody out against the guy, the veteran hanging on, against the left-handed hitters. It makes for a great baseball story.
Yeah, I it's going to be interesting to watch the Giants. I mean, they're in a good groove right now. You know, fans just hit the ball to all fields. Morris is just a classic power hitter. I just really love that guy, watching him hit. Maybe Posey's coming around. You know, as you said earlier, this is a team that's going to hit. They've got a lot of guys who can hit. And, that bad run they went through recently, I don't think you're going to see long stretches like that. They've got too many guys who are professional hitters.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Bruce, on Tuesday, I was talking to Pat about it. The Giants have an event here in Sears Plaza. And, Pat, who's the guy? Chumlee will be here?
Chumlee's from one of those pawn shows, Pawn Wars or whatever, out of Vegas. Very entertaining.
So they're inviting Giant fans to bring Giant memorabilia. And I guess he assesses it for like an antique, and they have me there as well. So I'm looking forward to that. Do you save memorabilia? Do you have any baseball stuff?
I do. I have quite a few baseball cards going back to when I first started collecting them in 1958. Unfortunately, my parents' house burned down to the ground in 79 and took all my cards with them. But I kind of resurrected my set just based on certain cards. It's certainly not as extensive as it was. But I've got... I've got some autograph balls that I've got from other people. You know, it's not cool for writers to say, "Hey, would you sign this?" That's completely verboten.
Right.
But I saved a lot of stuff from both World Series. Programs and scorecards, books that were written, videotapes that were made. I've got a real good documentation of both of those World Series to look back on, and I collected some great photographs sort of from the 50s and 60s, you know, shots of Jackie Robinson, Bob Gibson, Hank Aaron, some of the guys that I really admired watching. I've got a pretty good stash.
Yeah, pretty nice. That's pretty nice. We'll tell Chumlee about you.
Yeah, and I've videotaped stuff for years. I've got a real, really extensive video, which I put on DVD, collection of baseball films and shows. So
what?
Good stuff for retirement, you know?
Well, you're a couch potato, so this is good for you. I know that.
Didn't Willie say yesterday that he had Joe DiMaggio's jock?
Yes, he did.
Well, that was something.
Well, there's something there. There's something special. It's never been watched.
Oh, God. And he said someone's going to pay a lot of money for it, which they probably will.
Oh, they will, absolutely. Yeah, the jock community.
God. They probably will. Hey, you know, today is Pat and I are going to do this day in baseball history for Amici's a little bit later on. But Norm Cash is always one. And I think, Bruce, I mentioned this one to you. Steve Busby, no hit the Tigers. This may be the game that Norm Cash went up there with the table leg. I think this is the one.
He was pretty creative. He was known to cork his bat. But, you know, great left-handed power hitter for the Tigers. Left Tiger Stadium. I think he hit 361 one year.
Yeah.
A character, but typical, you know, wacky lefty, but very, very dangerous hitter as well in there with Willie Horton and Bill Freehan and those guys. And I always loved watching Norm Cash. And I can also remember him being completely baffled by Bob Gibson in the 68
right.
series. But, you know, great... great name. Great baseball name.
Yeah, very good. Hey, Bruce, enjoy the Warriors today. I know you're out there in the whole Donald Sterling thing. What's the buzz out there? My goodness.
Well, they're just about to start the press conferences. Mark Jackson and Doc Rivers are going to talk. I think their locker rooms will be open. I mean, the Clippers are going to be pretty they're going to shut down all this Donald Sterling talk and try and focus on the game. But it's a very unique atmosphere where you've got a team that's in a rage against its owner. Doc Rivers, you know, his boss has been exposed once again, and Doc's not only the coach, but he's effectively the general manager. He signed a deal with his team to basically run the team as well as coach it. So, and now he's looking at, I can't come back and work for this guy. So it's this very interesting dynamic to see how it plays out.
Well, it reminds me of Charlie Finley and Dick Williams,
absolutely.
1973. And really, that is the only comparison I can come up with. But you'll be able to work that one in.
I may. The racial angle wasn't wasn't really that part of that. So that's a little bit. It's tough to compare anybody to Donald Sterling. He's kind of in a class by himself.
Yeah, his cellmate is Mark Schott. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, Mark Schott. Mark Schott's a better comparison for sure.
All right. Hey, yeah. Bruce. Thank you so much for taking the time and enjoy the day. And we'll talk to you next week.
See you, Bruce.
But good being on with you guys. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, boy. The great Bruce Jenkins.
Every time,
isn't he? He never misses.
Yeah. Now, I was talking to the great Eamon Sweeney, Gary and Larry's producer, and we're talking about Bruce just nails it every time. He was on Friday with Gary and Larry. He's just great.
So. Every time. Ron Wotus was on today talking about memorabilia. He was his dad was an Arnold Palmer fan, and not the drink, not the lemonade.
No.
But he had his wife, Ron's wife, Palmer was at an exhibition or something, jump the ropes with a Sports Illustrated cover and had Arnold Palmer sign it.
What's your best piece of memorabilia, Marty?
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe a signed baseball by Lefty Gomez.
Okay.
That may be the oldest thing I have.
All right.
Barbara Clagg, who worked for DMV, he lived next to her, I guess, in Marin County.
Right.
And got me a Lefty Gomez ball.
There you go.
Pete Rose baseball, have that.
Okay.
And then I have a lot of pictures and books and old sporting newses and sport magazine. But I was not a big autograph guy.
Me neither. I don't get the whole autograph thing. But a lot of people get a kick out of it. Yeah. Have you been down to the old pro in Palo Alto?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Sports Illustrated's lined the wall. It is so it's really like walking through history. It's really neat. You ought to go down there. They got a mechanical bull, Marty.
Really?
Get up on there.
I don't think so.